Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.
Hey, did you know that the Torture Pod has merch? Yeah, over at redbubble.com/people/torturepod, we have a whole bunch of different items that you can wear, adorn on your phone or your computer or your car to show your love for torture. We have Brazen Bull t-shirts. You can have the torture logo on a mug. Guild Array on Hat Day on a hat, if that's what you choose. Welcome to La Tumba shower curtains. I mean, literally, anything you want. iPhone cases with Sort Your Fucking Life Out on them. I mean, how much better does it get? And remember, all Pride merch sold, profits go directly to the Trevor Project. So you're also helping people in the process of showing your love for the podcast. So go to redbubble.com/people/torturepod. And as all the kids these days say, get your fit on, bro. I don't know if that's what they say or not. I'm not cool. The subject of today's episode is yet another cavalcade of holiday horrors, including a New England woman's return home not being all what it seems, a man and his very unfortunate roommate, and why it's bad to live next door to a Scottish woman. Then rounding it all out with a late-night style Yuletide top 10. And all this with a guest that everyone's come to love and tolerate. Today we give you the return of the tradition. It's Christmas time true crime, 33 and a third.
This time is personal.
Insult. I'm Kevin Young.
I'm Prancer.
And I'm Dixon.
Dixon?
I don't know. I just came up with it. I can't remember the... No, I'm Rudolph. I'm Rudolph. Damn it. Can we redo it? I want to be Rudolph.
You have all the reindeer to pick from and you pick none of them. And this is torture.
It's torture just getting through the intro.
Dixon. He took like 3 of them and combined
them.
Yeah,
basically, yeah.
We also could have gone with Christmas time true crime Battle of the Five Armies.
Ooh.
Or Christmas time true crime Return of the King. The Search for Spock. Christmas time true crime. Chapter 3, Parabellum.
Perineum.
pairing him. I think my favorite one was Christmas Time True Crime, Beyond Thunderdome.
Dun, dun, dun.
Beyond the Torture Dome.
Oh, boy. Well,
hi,
everybody.
Dixon. How's Dixon?
How's Dixon?
Dixon is doing great. I had Daryl Dixon in my head for a reason. Not even the
same. Oh, yeah, my favorite reindeer, Daryl. Yeah. He's all like...
Yeah, instead of his nose being red, his balls are red because he hasn't washed them in 17 years.
He's dunked in a river or two.
Yes, for everybody who's listening, you hear that, those wonderful dulcet tones. Our guest needs no introduction, but I'm going to give him one anyways because, hell, why not? To us, he'll always be Chef de Cock Bonar the Barbarian. You may have seen him grace the pages of BoldJourney.com. He's the executive producer and host of the Stock Dirty to Me podcast, founder, director, and CEO of the Invest in Yourself podcast network, host of the Invest in Yourself podcast series, the award-winning Invest in Yourself, the digital entrepreneur podcast, where he has empowered countless people on their journey towards self-investment and personal growth with over 700 episodes and almost as many guests. One of our most favorite people, hailing from the great white north and emanating from a LinkedIn page near you, the host of the Phil Better Show, ladies and gents and otherwise, put your hands together for the award-winning podcast mogul, Phil, that's P-H-I-L, new word, better!
Thank you so much for that lovely, lovely intro, Kevin. For this episode, I am now Dixon.
Dixon. So that
I will only be referred to as Dixon. I will not answer to Phil, new word, better.
Oh, that was the funniest fucking thing ever when that happened.
New word. I actually had to go back to our last... Christmas Time True Crime and listen to that part again where he spells out the word and his new word.
My claim to fame.
Classic.
So good to go back.
Need to go into your Zoom settings and change your name from Phil Better to Dixon.
All right, hold on. Doing it now. Just no, actually, I can't. This is the professional account.
Yeah.
Change it to Phil, new word, better. Do it, goddammit.
Fine, I'm doing it now.
Have to do it. It's all good. I don't even know how my name is down. So my name is down as my own name. That's cool.
Yeah.
It's down as my proper title as well. I don't understand that. But anyway.
Danielle.
Yeah. I referred to myself as Daniel in work yesterday, and I was shocked at myself when it came out of my mouth. Somebody said, what's your name? I said, Daniel. I was like, Dan. Looking at me kind of like,
what?
Who is it? Daniel you're talking about?
What's your name? Jonathan. Wait, no. God, yeah. What? No, that's not it.
It's like, are you a legal representative or somebody from the law? No, Dan, it's Dan. Yeah. It's okay.
Well, Phil, we haven't had you on for what's been. It's been a while since we've done Christmas Time True Crime. We unfortunately could not do one last year because of all the shit that was going on in our lives. So it's been a while since we got to sit down and talk to you. How? There it is, Phil. New word, better. That's fucking perfect. All right. Yes. Fuck. Phil, how have you been doing?
I've been doing good. I was happy to have a little bit of a reprieve from the torture stories that I was hearing usually every Christmas.
Sure.
But I'm very happy to be back to be tortured again with new tales of stories going, what the fuck? How did that happen? Why was that allowed to happen? And I also found out that Canadians don't have a lot of weird tortury history. Apart from the residential schools, but we don't talk about that.
Yeah, you're not as crazy as the Americans or the United Staters and the Europeans, because they get a lot of shit over there too. You're kind of boring in that way, Phil. Which I mean is a relief to be able to go somewhere to look at some
son of a bitch.
So for people not watching who are just listening, Dan just changed his background to Phil, wearing his little inflatable antlers.
That are they're deflating right now.
They are. They are. I think your mom might have punctured them.
Oh my God, Dan, I love you, but I also hate you.
But this is it for the episode.
This is it. Is that the rest? He's just going to cover up his camera.
I wish I could have his mouth move when I talk. That would just
That'd be great. Brilliant.
Look, I'll come back in front of you. Don't worry.
Oh, there he is. All right.
Dan, now, that's what you're doing, Dan.
Yeah. Anyway,
there's
Phil,
clip for the socials.
What all have you been up to
since
over the
last
past
year?
2 years, yeah.
Well, let's see. I started a new... I can't take Ben serious. I started a new job working for an amazing agency, helping brands grow their podcast. So that's the biggest new thing. And
that's great.
Yeah. So I'm taking my knowledge of independent podcasts and bringing it so that more corporations can make more money.
Oh, well, I mean.
Plus and minus.
Plus sold and out minus. To the man.
Yeah.
Listen, the man
I think I called
pays.
You a poser the other day.
That's it.
For getting a job. But hey, we all got to. Dan, how are you doing?
I'm good. Also still selling out to the man.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah. Me too.
Yeah. But
we all are.
I'm good. On Christmas holidays now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going away for Christmas now soon too.
Yeah. Can't we're wait. All jealous about it.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't stop telling everybody in work just to annoy them all.
Oh, I bet. You know, when my dad retired, we had a bunch of people he used to work with who lived just down the street from us. So on his first day of retirement, he sat out on us. He got up as early as what he normally does, gets coffee, gets dressed, goes sits out on the front porch, and just waved at them as they drove by to go to work.
Nice. Well,
just passive aggressive as fuck.
I'll do one for you now that one of the supervisors in my section is now a listener. So
nice.
Chances are he'll be listening to this while I'm sunning it
great.
Up. So well, Leon, hope you enjoy work, buddy.
Leon, stop listening to podcasts and get back to work, goddammit.
Yeah. Yeah, why aren't you
come on,
working?
Leon. Fuck.
Go on,
if
Leon.
You send me any emails after this, I'm just gonna send them back. Okay.
Those TTS reports aren't gonna fill themselves out, Leon. Yeah. I'm gonna need you to work this weekend. And where's my stapler?
Red stapler.
Oh, we're going paperless now. We don't have red staplers stapler. Anymore.
I'm going to burn down the building.
Yeah, dude. No,
office space.
Not going to condone the burning build being built down. So don't do it. Okay?
No.
None of us here condone burning down buildings.
There's been a lot of things on this podcast we've had to say. We don't condone this, but like, wink, wink.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Dan, I believe you have two, and Phil, you have one.
Yes, that's correct.
Story coming. So we'll do Dan, Phil, Dan. I am taking the story. I have something for later, like I normally do, but I'm taking the storytelling off this week. So just be Dan and Phil doing our story. So we'll go Dan, Phil, Dan. So this is one, two, you know, so it's one of you has two and the other has one. So
there
Dan.
We go.
I always come first.
Yeah. That's why his wife's so frustrated. Because Dan always.
I wasn't
first.
Saying it.
Poor Allison.
No comment. Before I start my first story, I just wanted to know for both of you, what's the worst Christmas gift you ever got?
Oh, fuck.
It is slightly.
Socks.
Relevant.
I got friggin' socks.
Like, nothing wrong
I like
with socks.
Socks. My socks.
Yeah, but
my
not
my
as
wife?
A 10-year-old.
Oh well.
See, that's
not
nice
on the
socks
though.
As a 10-year-old either.
But they just like
weird.
Socks.
Oh yeah, that's not a question. my wife just gave me socks the other day that she didn't. She had an extra pair. She's putting in stocking. She like, you want these? And they got like little honeybees on them. I love them. I honestly can't think of the last bad Christmas gift I've gotten. Probably like pajamas or something from a grandparent or something stupid when I was a kid. Yeah.
Cool.
Inflatable reindeer antlers is what I got that kept deflating. That's the worst Christmas present.
Sorry that I gave you the worst Christmas gift ever.
Tell me this as well. What would you do then if you got a really bad gift? Would you re-gift it? Would you t- tell the person, hey, look, I don't like this gift, shove it up your ass. Would you just accept it and move on?
No, I'd smile, I'd go, thanks, and then move on to the next present. And then
now I know if I ever get Kevin a Christmas present that he doesn't like, and he goes, thanks.
Yes, exactly.
He doesn't like it. So I keep getting it for him.
Yes.
I just smile, say thank you, and move on to the next gift.
Right, yeah, you're cool. Talking to a Canadian and a Midwesterner, where blight is we could possibly be borderlining passive aggressive. Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, then, in that case, then I shall begin my story, which is actually starting with the exact same question, but to the listeners, technically. So, what's the worst Christmas present you have ever gotten? A pair of socks, like Phil, a book that you already have, the same toy you received last year. Well, how about death? If you're listening to this, then I can only assume you haven't received that for Christmas. But, you know, never know. Anyway.
It wouldn't necessarily be the worst present, but...
Depends on how your Christmas is going, I suppose. So, it's a cold Christmas morning in Edinburgh, Scotland. That's what you Americans would usually call Edinburgh or Edinburgh.
No, I think most of us know how to pronounce... No. Edinburgh.
No, I have this written down on my notes.
Do you?
It's Edinburgh for the Americans, right? It's literally written here. So I fact-checked this before I did anything, right?
And for the Canadians, it's Edinburgh.
Yeah.
No, you got to go Edinburgh. There's an Ed. We don't Edinburgh. Do A.
Oh.
The A's are at the end of the sentence.
A. Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry about that. And... So Christmas is typically a day filled with laughs, love, merriment, and a lot of stabbing, apparently.
Hmm.
Not yours, but it was the case for poor old 47-year-old Alan Williamson. So there was a woman by the name of Melissa Young, was born in Perth, Scotland. Not Perth, Australia. Perth, Scotland. Hmm. But either way, they still had a funny accent. So she was... originally born male and later identified as female. Not that that's relevant to the story whatsoever, but...
it's just information.
Having been the victim of excess bullying and suffering from alcoholism, Melissa would later move to Edinburgh for a fresh start. She worked professionally in facials, i.e. she was a sex worker. So, you know.
That's where I was hoping you were going to go with it.
On Christmas Day, Jesus was born. That's how far back we're going, right? So that's the 25th of December for anybody who is maybe Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, Sikhism, Shintoism, anybody who doesn't celebrate it, just in case you didn't know it, and in case you're American because they don't know anything outside of.
We know what day Christmas is. It's the day
Are
we
you
get off
sure?
from work. Well, no, we know what days we get off from work. We keep track of those pretty close. Cool.
So anyway, so on Christmas Day, Jesus was born 2,000 and something years later. It also happens to be the same day that two calls were made to emergency services by Melissa Young. In the first call, Melissa reported that her neighbour Alan was in her home and he was refusing to leave. I had seen some comments and such that, like said, basically Alan was known to be a predator and he had a rape charge in the past. But that's not something I could find any confirmation on, like, because there's so like no information about this guy really around. So not factual, that bit ain't. Okay. Anyway, so the only information I could find on him was actually the number of times he was stabbed. That's all I could find. So the following call was Melissa saying she had stabbed Alan and killed him. Police arrived on the scene to find Melissa with bloody hands and Williamson dead behind the front door from multiple stab wounds. Melissa had apparently trapped Williamson in her flat and proceeded to stab him a total of 29 times.
God damn.
Melissa allegedly told the police, "The power it gave me was amazing. I had severe mental health issues. I need to go to Carstairs, which is a psychiatric hospital over there. We have been friends for ages, but this has been coming for ages." Melissa would later claim that during the attack she was possessed and that she was a saint sent by God to punish the demon. She claimed to have seen a bright white light and heard voices in her head, when in fact she was off her fucking trolley on heroin.
There you go.
So, anyway, so why did Melissa kill Alan Williamson in such a brutal manner? Was it because she knew he was a predator? Because apparently they'd been fighting over things and she had issues with that and blah, blah, blah. Hold on a second. I have an alarm going off. That's great timing. Thank you.
It just says, tell them why she killed him. Tell them why exactly. She killed him.
I better make sure that's not going to go off again. Hold on. Sorry, guys. 1 second. Interrupting the vibes, the ambiance. Anyway, so did he attack her? Did he try and assault her? Did God really come down from heaven and show Melissa the light and ask her to vanquish this demon?
That's probably the one. That's my bet. I'm going to put my bet on that one. Yeah.
What do you think? Why, Phil, do you want to throw out a guess as to why this woman stabbed this man to death? So it's such a savage way. Bear in mind, it's 29 times she stabbed this guy. That is fucking brutal.
Yeah.
I want to say he insulted her hair. It was the hair insult.
It was the hair insult. And well, because himself. I mean, that's not really a heroin type crime. That seems more of a crystal meth type thing to stab somebody that many times.
That's true.
Yeah, sorry. I keep getting my drugs mixed up.
How amped up do you need to be to go off like that on heroin?
Well, put it this way, one of you guys is really close and the two of you are also way off.
Okay. Well, that's right.
Yeah, maybe Jesus. Jesus told her Dan didn't like the hair, so he stabbed.
It was Dixon.
Dixon did it. New word.
Dixon ran in, stabbed the shit over, ran off again. It's like, stop saying my name wrong. Everybody's been calling me Blitzen all these years. Anyway, so the real reason Melissa stabbed Alan Williamson 29 times is because he did not like the Christmas present she had gotten for him.
Was it her haircut?
So Melissa had bought him, it was a pair
it was
of...
the facial.
Yeah, yeah. Because she was the one giving, not receiving.
That yeah, it's like, this is reverse. I don't like it. He's one of those guys.
So she had bought him a pair of trainers, i.e. or runners if you're over UK by side and all that stuff, and a calendar. There's a very well-known newspaper over in the UK, you also get it here, The Sun, which is well-known to have their page 3 thing for years, going back where they used to have a model topless in it and stuff like that. And she got the page 3 calendar for the year or some shit.
Oh,
and he didn't like these gifts. So she took an affront to it basically and stabbed the living shit out of him because he didn't like the gift. So Melissa was brought to trial very quickly and it lasted 5 days and she was handed a life sentence to serve a minimum of 20 years. So life in the UK and over here is not life like it is over in the US.
Yeah.
It's usually 20
yeah,
years.
Yeah.
And the judge stated, having murdered him, you set about trying to persuade health professionals that you were suffering from diminished responsibility. While it's true that you have severe personality disorder, it's clear it played no part in what happened that night. You showed no remorse. In fact, you told his court that you were indifferent to his death.
It's just the heroin talking.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
but luckily she can count down her days in prison with the Sun magazine calendar that she kept that he did not want. It's like, fuck you, I'll just put this up on that wall. I'll use it myself. That's usually what happens, though. If somebody's like, I don't like this, I don't want it, you take it, you keep it for yourself.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Like I made my mother a calendar of me 1 year, and I'm pretty sure she only put it up when she knew I was coming over. So
you walk in the door, she's like, don't wait, don't move, hold on. And you hear her running, scurrying. Okay, now you can come in. Look at the calendar, see? It's still there.
It was the best calendar ever.
Was it?
Just going to throw it out there, yeah. It was like the greatest calendar ever. It's just all different pictures of me, kind of.
Oh, I want one. I want one.
Yes, I would have that. Would be hanging on my wall.
That would be in my garage.
I'd have to redo next... this. Is going back years. I'd have to redo the entire thing if I can even have the original file, because I had to do all the dates and stuff. It was way more effort than was needed.
I think you can use Canva now. I think you can.
Oh, yeah. Canva. Oh, yeah, easily. Yeah, easily. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I think I was using like Microsoft Excel or something for it. At least she didn't stab me to death for it, though, you know.
Yeah, thank you.
She thought about it, though.
I'm pretty sure she's thought about that many times.
Great. And then she went to the kitchen. She's looking at the knife. She's like, nope, that'd be an over exaggeration. No. Shouldn't do that. No.
But yeah, sadly, I couldn't get any more details on it, though, but I thought that was an interesting one.
Man, 29 times for a bad present. Shit. Goddamn.
Yeah.
Two bad presents. And they're not even that bad of presents. I mean, fuck, you give me shoes and a calendar, I'm good with it. Unless,
yeah.
Especially if it's got, like, naked people on it. Fuck.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, you never know. Could have been too old for him. Yeah.
He may be a Trumper.
Oh, yeah, they fly off the handle.
Yeah. Could be friends with Prince Andrew. You never know.
Speaking of stabbing to death, RIP to Rob Reiner and his wife. My God, what a story.
There's so many conspiracy theories around that right now. It's insane.
Wow. Already, I mean, it's just fucking shit. And the new Spinal Tap movie just came out.
Yeah. Yeah, I still haven't gotten to watch it, actually.
Yeah, no, it's on streaming, but it's sad. It's really sad.
It's a sad day that a legend passed away.
That's it, exactly. Some absolutely amazing, amazing, amazing movies.
Yeah. Not only movies, like as an actor as well. Apparently, we wouldn't have
Seinfeld. I don't know him as well as an actor, if you get me. You know, like, it's really funny. If you start listing off all of his movies, they'd be, like, easily in top lists of mine.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Well, all right. Phil, what do you got for us?
I have a question for you guys, since you're slightly older than me, and to the audience as well. I want to know, what has been your worst roommate experience? Wives don't count.
Okay. Never mind. literally, other than my brother, as the only roommates I've ever had are my wives.
I've had
wives.
You,
well, my ex wife and my wife. Oh, yeah, okay. I've
had a few from one. Now I'm just trying to think now if he listens to this or not before I go shit talking too much. But I
think your brother does listen to this podcast.
That's not him. It's not him talking about. He doesn't listen to this. So.
Nobody in my family listens to this shit.
No. One such incident was, let's say, my roommate's shower apparently wasn't working. He forgot to turn on the heating for the water for his one, but my one was an electric one in my room. So he decided to just walk in to go in and use it. I was in bed with my then girlfriend at the time.
Oh, shit.
Ah.
And for those listening, Dan did the universal sign of putting his finger through a hole.
Yeah, his roommate walks in and Dan's just sitting there. His girlfriend's on the bed looking at him. What are you doing? And Dan's just sticking his finger in his hole, in a hole that he made. He's like, huh? Huh? His roommate was... I had one... guy's just standing there on the steps, just pissing, just pulls down his pants, just starts pissing on the steps. Granted, he was two and it's my son, but still, he's just standing there on the steps, just pissing. Oh, and I'm sitting there going, what are you doing? Why are we doing this? And he's like, I don't know. And it was a crazy day.
So I guess you guys have had better roommates than this gentleman we're going to be talking about, who, because of privacy rules, his name hasn't been revealed.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Just for protection for him. However, he was introduced to his roommate for a job. Him and his roommate started a company. And he decided to move in with this roommate. And so there are crimes that happen in a moment,
Right.
And then there's a story about what happened to Phil's last roommate, isn't it?
That's pretty much, yeah. That's why we're not sharing the name. But there are also crimes that take time, and they happen slowly. So slowly, even the closest people don't even realize that someone is disappearing. This is going to be one of those stories. It's a story about trust, about control, and about how torture doesn't always look like we expect. So, in 2008, a gentleman of Dustin LaFortune, I guess we are naming him, Dustin LaFortune, was 24 years old, and he left the beautiful wintry town.
We are going to give this guy's name for security purposes.
Well,
but his name is Dave.
Most of the frigging articles didn't put his name, and then I found one that did, and I completely forgot.
It's like when they're doing the like they're blurring the people's faces out, and they move like this, and all the black spots are like,
pretty much, yeah. That's my job. I'm the idiot who does that. So Dustin left the beautiful city of Winnipeg for the colorful city of Calgary with a simple goal: to work hard, make money, and build a future. The job came from his friend, Dustin Paxton, who owned a small moving company called Two Guys and a Truck.
Oh, okay.
Right? Remember
like
Two Guys
Paxton
and a Pizza Place?
Paxton's Packing or something like that? That would wait.
I don't know why he didn't do it. That would have been better. Like Paxton Packing would
Paxton's
have been...
literally in his name. You
I know.
This is why you get murdered.
Well, no. wrong Dustin. Dustin LaFortune is the one who gets
wrong
hurt.
Dustin.
Yeah, the wrong Dustin.
Okay, I take that back.
It was almost friendly. The two guys decided to live together in Calgary's Highland Park neighborhood. Their home doubled as the base of operations for the company. So, you know, work-life blurred. First, nothing seemed out of place. But over time, people noticed a slight change. In September of 2009, Dustin LaFortune had lost a significant amount of weight. This man was over 200 pounds before. He was also injured. He had some broken ribs, a fractured eye socket, and a busted lip. When the family and friends asked questions, LaFortune always had an answer. A fridge fell on him. A piece of drywall hit him in the face. Work accidents, right? He was moving. And moving is dangerous work.
Okay, that makes more sense. He's moving off a refrigerator.
We don't remember the two guys in a moving truck joke ago.
Completely jumped out of my head. I just see some doofus in his kitchen fucking shaking his refrigerator and it falls over on him.
Trying to get that piece of cake from the back, you see. That's what it is. Dustin was also all that weight because he couldn't access the cake anymore. Yeah. That's what it is.
Okay.
And of course, those explanations made enough sense that people stopped asking the questions.
Sure.
But of course, this is how all stories of abuse happen and start. Not with alarm, but with excuses.
Right.
In February 2010, calls stopped. No messages, no check-ins with the family, not even an appearance at the family wedding he was supposed to attend. He didn't just go quiet, Dustin. He completely vanished. His family got increasingly alarmed. What they didn't know was, around the same time, someone else tried to raise the alarm. At the end of February, a man called Calgary's 911. He reported being threatened. He said a coworker had been beaten by Dustin Paxton. For reasons still under review, police were still not dispatched. To this day, it's still unknown why the cops didn't show up. A single decision, a missed opportunity, and one that would matter more than anybody realized at the time.
We've covered a few things in Canada before, and we know the police don't show up when they're supposed to.
You just start that.
That's the RCMP. But
Paul Bernardo.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't come near when they're supposed to.
Even when they're cats. But this, in March of 2010, Paxton left Calgary. He moved to Regina, Saskatchewan, a very flat place.
Vagina?
Saskatchewan. But also LaFortune went with him, but not by choice. Fortune's family didn't know he had been taken out of the province. They didn't know
Regina
where he was.
Home of Deadpool.
It's true. Winnipeg is.
You can't spell fun without Regina.
It's true. You can't. April of that year, the silence was unbearable. The family of Dustin LaFortune filed a missing people's report. 2 days later, one of them received a phone call. It was from Dustin Paxson. He said that LaFortune was fine, alive, and living in Leduc, Alberta, which, if we go back a couple minutes ago, they had moved to Regina, so he wasn't in Leduc. It was a lie. Then, April 16th, a man arrived at Regina General Hospital. He was dropped off severely injured. The man who dropped him off claimed to be his cousin and then just left. Dustin LaFortune was 26 years old. He weighed 87 pounds.
Jesus 2 years before Christ.
Wait. 2 years before that, he had weighed 245 pounds.
Hold on. I work with real math measurements and weights and all that stuff, so I don't work in pounds. So hold on a second. I want to see what this is in a real measurement. In how stones? Many pounds?
How many pounds? 87 pounds.
I work in kilos, motherfuckers. Oh.
Sorry.
Yeah,
I'm a Canadian. I'm supposed to work in kilos and still use pounds.
How many bags of all-purpose flour did you weigh?
I'm American. How many bald eagles is that?
It's five bald eagles.
Five bald eagles.
And three football fields.
Yeah. He is one-third of a giraffe tall.
Right, that's 39.5 kilograms for anybody.
Anytime you have to get cares. To start using decimal points and fractions, I'm sorry. Your measurements are not the way they should be. I'm sorry, just anytime you have what, to use mean, fractions, like, mean, like decimal points.
18 sixteenths of an inch and shit like that? Fuck off.
That's for carpentry. That's
bullshit. It's so fucking
we're talking about height and weight. Don't need to be.
But length, no. It's fine. So the doctors quickly okay realize. Too. This wasn't neglect. It wasn't torture. It was intentional. Yeah. And LaFortune had been confined, starved, burned, beaten, and sexually assaulted. His face had been smashed.
By the refrigerator?
Yeah, by the refrigerator. Part of his lower lip and tongue were missing. Oof. He suffered brain damage, partial amnesia, and his mother would later say, "It's something worse than a horror movie. You can't even look at him." This wasn't violence meant to kill quickly. It was violence meant to continue. As police retraced Paxson's movements, they found him.
Wait. You can't do that. Let's just keep going.
It was violence meant to continue. As he retraced Paxson's movements.
He's going to go into song for a second.
Violence was meant to continue. Da 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 da.
He retries. Proceed. Oh fuck.
We got the sound bite, people.
Yep, that's
we got
it.
The sound bite.
That's the trailer yes, for retraced. The
episode. Paxson's movements. They focused on an apartment near Regina General Hospital. A man named Dan McKenzie lived below it. He didn't see much, but he heard plenty, moaning every morning, low, drawn out. At first, he tried to explain it away. Then came the yelling, the one-sided fights, thuds and stomps. McKenzie said the most disturbing part wasn't the noises. It was the words. He once heard someone screaming, "Open your eyes." Don't know why. He complained to the landlord multiple times, but he never called the police. Later, when he saw a photo online connected to the case, everything clicked. He realized something terrible might have been happening right above him. As the investigators dug deeper, they found another victim, a teenage girl, under 18, also known to Dustin Paxson. She had been confined and assaulted during the same period LaFortune was being tortured, but she didn't come forward. Police identified her during the investigation, and Paxson would face additional charges. This case leaves behind court records, charges, and sentences, but it also leaves behind some harder questions. How long were the warning signs visible? How many chances were missed? And how long can suffering hide behind routine and disbelief? Because torture doesn't always announce itself. Sometimes it looks like work injuries. Sometimes it lives upstairs. Sometimes it waits for everyone to look away. Hmm. Yeah, the guy's serving life in prison. No chance of parole. And right. They found that he used a bamboo stick that was 1.2 meters long to beat him.
God damn.
And I've seen the pictures of La Fortune, and they are like his mom's statement, like it's out of a horror film. It's disgusting that something like that could happen, and like no one's saying anything about it. So yeah, it was crazy. Worst roommate ever. 0 stars.
I mean, it's up there. It's not great, but you know, now that I heard that there's, you know, the guy was tortured, and I'll have to do a deep dive into it and find out every bit of fucking information I can. So thank you for giving me homework, Phil. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Enjoy. I'll send you something so you can enjoy that. Yes.
Yeah, do that. I'm excited.
I'll tag you in all the posts.
Yes. It's like, why does this one guy keep getting tagged in all these horrible things? Don't worry about it. It's personal.
That was a lovely story, Phil. I especially loved your cadence in the middle of it there.
I'm a storyteller. What can I say?
Gorgeous.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.
Hey guys, Kevin here. So if you have a beard, or somebody in your life that you love has a beard, and you haven't gone to thebeardstruggle.com and used our exclusive coupon code TORTURE19 at checkout to save 19% off your entire order, what are you doing? Why not? I don't understand. They have everything you could possibly need for your beard or for the beard of the person you love. Growth kits, oils, washes, creams, butters, trimmers, straighteners, everything you could need for your beard, your hair, your face, your entire body. And it's quality, the best products you can buy. Over 10,000 Trustpilot reviews with a score of 4.7 out of 5. I mean, you know that you're going to get the best quality products you could possibly get for not just your beard, but your entire body. And with their 90-day money-back oath of honor and our exclusive coupon code TORTURE19, use at checkout, again, to save 19% off your entire order. If there's anything you don't like, which I don't see happening, but just in case, if there's something you don't like, you're not 100% satisfied with within 90 days, send it back and you get your money back. It's just that easy. So what are you doing? Go to thebeardstruggle.com, use our exclusive coupon code TORTURE19 at checkout, and as Dan would say, sort your fucking beard out. All right, Dan.
Yo.
Go ahead and give us number two.
Cool. Right then, folks. This story takes place as recently as 2018. So, it's Christmas Eve, 2018. Didn't see that bit coming. Young lady by the name of Emily Carter. She is a journalist based out of New York City. She returned home to her hometown of Pinecrest, New England, to spend Christmas with her family. Little did she know that this could very well be the last Christmas she could ever spend with them. Dun, dun, dun. Emily arrived home to the typical Pinecrest festivities. Their well-renowned Christmas market they had each year is filled with every form of Christmas-related fluff you could imagine, from homemade decorations, spectacular light show, food provided by the local diner, which was actually run by her parents. And the cherry on the top was their very old, good old, typical bake-off competition-y pie contest thing.
Yeah.
So
it's fantastic. Fuck.
Yep. Emily, who's also once an avid baker herself, before the cutthroat world of journalism took away her will to live, realised that this would be a perfect opportunity to write a real hallmark kind of an article before she went back home. And she decided to interview all the local tradespeople about what they're up to and write all about the contest to try and bring some recognition to small town traditions while she was also getting to see her family. And this is where things take a turn for the worst.
Yes.
Throughout the day, Emily would meet and interview several of the town folk who had stalls set up at the market, and then she would bump into the last person she would ever expect to meet. It was her old high school boyfriend, Jack Merriman.
Always happens.
Wait a minute. This is a Christmas story, and the guy's last name is Merriman?
Yeah.
Is this actually a Hallmark movie?
No.
Does he work at a Christmas tree farm?
No.
Christmas store?
No, he doesn't work at a Christmas tree farm. You'll find out where he works in a while, don't worry. Within minutes, they began to hit it off. But locals said that they were seen having a heated argument while they're sitting down over a cup of coffee, with Emily reportedly storming away. One witness claimed that the argument surrounded Emily's dismay at Jack's current choice of occupation, and that he had not moved on with his life since they were previously together. Another witness stated that the argument was started by Jack himself, who brought up the fact that Emily left and abandoned her family. So the only two people that we know for sure are Jack and Emily. And sadly, as this story will reveal, neither of them can tell us what truly happened.
Murder-suicide.
I mean, it does sound like a Hallmark movie so far. It literally does.
Later that evening, Emily returned to her parents' home. She found the door ajar. Upon entering the house, she was never seen again. Until the very next day, when herself and Jack...
She was never seen again until the next day. Yeah,
for the rest of that day. Okay.
For about 3 hours, she was never seen again.
She was seen the next day at the Great Bake Pie Off contest because Jack had gotten into the home to try and find her Emily's great-grandmother's secret candy cane gingerbread baked Alaska pie with cranberry coulis recipe. I was trying to make it in her parents' kitchen because, you know, that's normal, right?
That's so, way too much. That's too much things.
So allegedly, Jack couldn't leave town all those years ago because his family business was collapsing. They'd lost too much due to the financial crash in the early 2000s. And then again with COVID, they had to pay their debts and pile up, so he couldn't sustain it any longer. The only hope they had was to win the Pinecrest Bake Off Pie fucking contest, motherfuckers. So together, they made the secret candy cane gingerbread baked Alaska pie with cranberry coulis and won the competition. Jack's family
business. Hold on, I thought that was bullshit for a second. Yeah,
Jack's family's business was saved, and Emily got to write her article. But Emily also learned love along the way. And Emily,
this has to be bullshit. I'm calling
Emily
bullshit.
Emily stayed in her hometown of Pinecrest afterwards.
It's a got fucking married to Jack. Movie.
Son of a bitch.
And if you recall, I did say that neither of them could truly tell us what happened because
The movie ended.
The movie ended.
Son of a bitch.
Because the next morning, Jack and Emily were dead, along with half the town, because Jack stupidly put arsenic in the pie instead of butter. So there you go.
You son of a bitch. It was torture watching that movie, wasn't it?
He just what read movie? The synopsis online.
What movie? I wrote that shit. They're the easiest fucking things in the world to write. It's basically what I said to you that I was going to do for... hold on.
Oh, your Hallmark movie D&D.
Hallmark movie D&D session for the family when we're away at Christmas. And it's basically... They gotta get the secret recipe from Mary Berry so they can win the Great Bake Off.
Thank God.
And every one of them is going to have their ex-partner there who works for a rival apple farm who won't work together, but they need both types of...
rival apple farm.
But they need both types. But they need both types of apples in order to make the pie correctly. So they have to bring everybody together as one whole cohesive unit.
Fuck. I had to mute myself. Jesus Christ.
One does green, one does red. Need both of them.
I like them more for eating and them more for pieing.
You can't have a candy cane apple pie without having the straps. So you need green straps. You need the red straps.
Listen, so, yeah. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. You almost fucked me here.
Yeah.
Because I almost did the exact same
thing. I was fucking shit myself that you might do.
I literally... It came down to the wire of what I ended up doing, the top 10 list, but we'll get to here in a minute, and making a true crime Hallmark movie and reading it out. Like, but you...
I couldn't tell you in advance, though, is the problem. Like, yeah, I had messaged Kevin as well, and I said it to him, oh, here's what I'm thinking about doing with another story. And he's like, you do like that, that's big. And I was like, oh yeah, shit, tomorrow look at it. It's huge. Any video I could find to look at any information about it was like 4 hours long.
You wanted to cover JonBenet Ramsey?
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude, that's just an episode.
That's a series of episodes.
Yeah.
It's like, look, big, man.
I was going to do an abridged version of it, and then I was like, you know what? I already have half this shit written anyway. I just got to change a few things. I forgot to change Jack Merriman's name.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, but his original name was actually like John Handsome or something like that. I can't remember.
Because it's played. Yeah, that's what the one that you told me.
Yeah.
Because it was played out exactly like Hallmark. I was like, this is maybe Hallmark on Tubi.
I thought you were going to get me after I said that she was a journalist based in New York City going back to her hometown. I could have sworn. I was really like, he's going to just turn around straight away and call bullshit.
I mean, that type of stuff happens. If you would have said, like, a CEO.
Only on Netflix.
Or aspiring CEO and with a fiance who's a surgeon.
From the big city.
Who works just a little too much, even though he takes care of her. And she has no... Then he shows up, though.
He shows up at Christmas Eve and he tries to drag her away, but she was having none of it because she needed to make that goddamn secret candy cane gingerbread. Bread baked Alaska pie with cranberry coulis. So,
and by dragging her away, you mean coming to her hometown and being like, babe, everything you've worked for the past however many years in the life we've built, you're gonna throw it away for an apple farm.
Yeah, for Jack Handsome, of course.
For Jack Handsome, John Merriman. Yeah. Jack Merriman, whatever his fucking name is. Yeah, all I Jack can Merriman, see when I look at this. All I can see when I look at this fucking screen is Phil has an E on the side of his head.
I've just been so, like, mourned.
They've been slowly drooping to the point where it's ears
now. Yeah, like,
now.
That's, you see what they were like beforehand.
Please, everybody, please go watch the YouTube video.
the cover art is just going to be me like this.
Oh,
yeah. It's no wonder Santa put dicks in the back of the shed and didn't let him leave the fucking thing.
Dixon's the one reindeer just left running into the wall. Is it my turn yet? Yeah. I think I can ride the sleigh good.
How do those windows
I go boom boom.
Oh, dear Lord.
Oh, mercy. Fucking hell. Well, you got us, Dan. You got us good.
Well, like, that's quite possibly the greatest thing I've ever written in my life. So,
but that's how easy it is to write a fucking Hallmark movie. It's like writing a Christmas song. There's not a whole lot to it.
Oh, no, I'm fully convinced, though. So, like, do you ever see that thing, the South Park thing, ripping the piss out of Family Guy, where they had the manatees picking the balls out of the pool? And it gave them, like, a person, a place, and a thing, or whatever. I'm pretty sure that's what they do with all these movies. The same guys, who just have this stack of cue cards, and it's like, lead person's name, job they do, kind of thing, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, what's the home family business bullshit, you know, and it's usually only three different things. But yeah.
Comedy Central had done a Hallmark parody. I can't remember what the fucking name of it. I watched it a couple years ago. The name of it. A Clusterfunk Christmas. Where it's a parody of every fucking Hallmark movie ever made, and it is probably, I don't know, top 10 Hallmark movies ever made. It's so fucking good because they play on all these, like, she stays in her hometown to help keep the family bed and breakfast alive. And she's like, at the end of it, she's like, I think I'm going to stick around. And everybody's like, why? Well, to keep things going. We're fine. You can go home. It's all right.
There's a couple that do loads of them for TikTok as well. They're fucking hilarious. Like, just some of them are just fucking brilliant. I must try and find it. They had, like, one of the characters' names was, like, Jack Apple or something like that. Like, you don't even want Family Orchard. And so it's so fucking stupid.
I don't know how I'd ever save my small town now.
Yeah, the funniest thing if the entire town was so reliant on this family's business, right, just going out of business, and the entire town is getting behind them all, needing to get this money together, you know, yet they have the town-based competition that they have to win, where you'd imagine that the entire town would either A, turn around and be like, we'll just donate you the money, or B, they'd be like, let's let them win the competition so they don't have to go through all this effort, you know, but no, to just send this poor woman and ruin her life completely, you know, like you said, take her away from everything she's at her building, all just so Jack Hanson can go and dip his wick. That's
all it is. You know what I was just thinking of? The movie Sweet Home Alabama, Reese Witherspoon, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's just a high budget Hallmark movie.
Yeah,
She's living in the big city, goes back to town, meets up with an ex.
Yeah. They get an odds over some reason, but then they come back together in the end, Ross and Rachel style.
The big like kiss scene on the beach or whatever. Yeah, fuck.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know if either of you were ever able to watch the old Late Show with David Letterman. Do you guys know what I'm talking
about?
That.
I know it, but it's not something that was here, really. Yeah. So I've watched some. Because
he was asleep when it was on.
Maybe.
We're getting ready for work.
Probably, yeah. Plus, we didn't have American channels like that showed it. It's a thing, you know. If I want to watch the current thing, like Late Show stuff, whatever, like that, it's on. I have to YouTube it. So,
yeah, stream it, stuff like that. Yeah, we didn't really have that back in the 90s. Well, he used to do a thing every night called the Top 10. And well, here is today's Top 10 Weirdest Christmas Laws in History. Drum roll, please. I'll put in a drum roll. Don't worry about it. Number 10. In 1659, it was illegal to celebrate Christmas in Puritan Massachusetts with the punishment of 5 shillings. Because nothing says holiday cheer like the government that fines you for having holiday cheer. Number 9. England, between 1500 and 1700, mumming, or going house to house in costume, was banned with the punishment of being put in the stocks or a whipping. The tradition eventually evolved into caroling, proving once again, if you annoy people loudly enough, they'll make it legal.
Jesus.
Nice. More about stocks and pillory on our other episode.
Yes, if you want to know more about stocks and failure or whipping, go listen to those episodes. Number 8. In 13th century Sweden and Finland, Christmas came with legally enforced extra peace, meaning that even a fight at dinner could become a holiday felony. But hey, there's no better reason to not visit the family on the holidays than wanting to avoid prison.
He got locked up. Why? Because he wouldn't pass the carrots.
I said mashed potatoes, motherfucker! Number 7. During the French Revolution in 1793, the government abolished the Christian calendar, and church services on December 25th were illegal, with priests holding mass being fined or imprisoned. Because what would Christmas be without state-mandated atheism?
Yeah. And vote for that person. 100%. Yes, please.
Number 6. Victorian England, asking for coins under the pretense of Christmas counted as vagrancy with a punishment of up to a month of hard labor. So, kids, if you're going door to door for presents in 1850s England, bring a lawyer.
Jesus, Murphy, the countries are crazy.
Number 5. In Soviet Russia, 1929, Christmas decorations could be seized as religious propaganda, with a punishment of confiscation and fines. It was the only place in history where getting caught with tinsel made you an enemy of the state.
In Soviet Russia, tinsel is you.
In Soviet Russia, tinsel puts you on tree.
Fucking Ruskies.
Number 4. Iceland, 1746. It was illegal to tell children scary stories about the Yule lads with the punishment of certain fines, meaning Iceland literally had a law against being too spooky, which is ironic for a country with 13 child-eating goblins.
You'd never listen to their music. Icelandic death metal is like their pop. Fucking insane.
Well, you have to be metal to live up there.
Number 3. Bavaria, 1781. Christmas gambling was banned with a punishment of fines and confiscated winnings. Because if there's one thing governments can't stand, it's people enjoying themselves indoors.
Who would rat on you at your own house if you're gambling?
Somebody who lost. Somebody lost all their money. Pretty sure he was counting cards. Well, I'm going to go tell the government.
I was going to say, that's why Monopoly caused so many issues. That's what it is. You owe me $50,000 in rent. God damn it, report him.
Number 2. England's Puritan-controlled Interregnum in 1644 to 1660, Christmas was effectively banned. Puritan troops paroled the streets, confiscating Christmas dinners. And their punishment was they would literally take your roast beef. The world's first documented case of state-sponsored dieting.
Started the Atkins diet.
I'm so confused.
The Atkins. And the number 1 weirdest Christmas law in history.
Is that where, sorry, is that where having a beef with somebody comes from?
Doubtful, but you can look it up.
I won't, because last time I did that, I was wrong. I'm going to be hopeful that I'm right.
And the number 1 weirdest Christmas law in history. In 10th century Norway, farmers were legally required to brew holiday beer. Skip it 3 years in a row, and you could lose your farm. The only time in history you could get evicted for not being a drunk.
That is so weird.
That's fucking brilliant.
And that is the weirdest Christmas laws in history, top 10. Thank you. Take it away, Paul. Yeah, apparently it was a big thing in Norway for holiday time where beer was pretty much the only thing that people drank. So all the farmers were required to brew beer for the holidays to make sure there was enough. If you didn't do it, you get fined 3 years in a row. They could actually take your entire farm. So
you have to wonder how many of them turned into full-on legit brewers.
Yeah,
you know, like I know Carlsberg is not Danish, isn't it? Come on a second, I'll have a look.
I know no beers anymore other than Guinness. Guinness and Molson. And Labatt. Those are the beers I drink.
I know nothing except for three of them.
Yeah, I know three beers on it.
And one of them is
why does my camera keep going out?
It's because you're lying to us.
Maybe the connection's bad. My cable might be bad. I don't know. There we go.
There's only 8 notable brewers, let's say, which is more than I actually thought there'd be in some ways, but less than I thought there'd be in other ways, if you get me. You know, because the entire country
I would have just created
a base on the coast, you know, so there's not that much of a thing for population, if you get me. Like, you know, there's like most of the places sparse. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know, it's mad. I thought, like, yeah, considering if they had to do it legally for so long, I'm kind of shocked that more than
if it was the Irish, everybody would be there would be like 84,000 breweries.
They'd have to stop them from brewing.
Illegal to brew on Christmas.
The holidays are over, guys. You can quit now. Just bottles piling up. You're like,
what did I do? That's true, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be too lazy to do it, though. Like, I'd be locked up in a fucking heartbeat.
I do expect just a little bit of credit for keeping each one of those to just a couple sentences, because, Dan, you know how I am. I wanted to deep dive into each fucking one and make each one a story.
I want a story for each one, because some of them are fucking nuts.
Why couldn't I go caroling?
Yeah. It's just the rich trying to take away our power from the poor.
That's all it is. It's all it ever is the rich trying to take your power away.
I probably thought it was some sort of satanic ritual or some bullshit like that. You know.
Well, in Puritan Massachusetts, I believe they did believe it was mixing too much pagan tradition
shit
with.
Yeah, yeah. That doesn't surprise me.
Oh,
shit, man. Is that guy?
Yeah.
That's the guy. God damn.
Yeah.
So for those just listening, I just sent Dan and Kevin one of the articles about my story and in our group chat, and the image they popped up, which I wasn't expecting.
Shit.
Yeah. Was the image of the gentleman La Fortune in the hospital. Yeah. And it's something.
It's not a good picture. Like, if I'm going to have them post a picture of me online, I'd have chose a different one. But, you know.
To each their own, right?
This is the best one of me we have now.
Yeah, it's.
Oh,
but yeah, going from 245 to 89, that's insane.
That's a huge drop. I mean, that's like Ariana Grande drop. Anymore, you look. Have you seen that poor woman? Oh. What is going on with her?
Yeah,
you can't see her if she's medical sideways.
She's gonna change her name to John Cena. You can't see her.
Yeah. She make a great role.
How was that last match?
D&D, she just go sliding through a doorway.
It was a typical John Cena match. He gets his ass kicked for majority of it, and then he comes rallies back, but at the end he ends up losing. It's a big controversy. He tapped out smiling and all this shit. I mean,
yeah, so I was hoping to say, he went out on his own terms and all that stuff. Like, it's the
Like,
I read somewhere that he may have supposed to have won it. And I said,
no, he was never going to win it. Yeah, no, there's no way in hell John Cena was going to win that match. He would have refused, because it's a tradition. If your retirement, you lose your retirement match. Sting is one of the only ones who that didn't happen with. When he retired in AEW, he won the match. He went out as champion. But no, retirement matches, you almost always lose. He would have had another way. There's a lot of big controversy about it and everything. We watched that one because my wife grew up as a John Cena fan. She's loved John Cena, you know, her whole life. She's one of her favorites. So, but we haven't been watching WWE because of the whole sex trafficking thing and them bringing Brock Lesnar back and all that shit. I was like, once he came back, I said, I'm done. I'm never watching another WWE event. We turned that one on because she really wanted to watch his last match, and I actually worked on this while we were
there you go.
No, I read. That's what I did. I read that. Dan, did you see a picture of that book my wife got me? The podcast of the Living Dead?
Yes.
I got about halfway through it. For some reason, it talks about my calves way too much.
Maybe it's...
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what she sent for.
It's one of those AI... So what it is, it's one of those AI books where she goes to this website and they have her fill out all this stuff about who the book's about, what their likes and their dislikes, where they're from, all this stuff. And she made it about zombies and podcasting because those are the two things that, you know, kind of take over my life. And there had to have been something on there. It's like, what part of him do you like the most, or does he like the most? And she must have put calves in for some reason. Which, listen, I have amazing calves, but I'm not fucking crazy. I mean, I'm not going on talking about them all the time. But, like, every time in this book I do something, he says, Kevin's calves flexed underneath this table. It's like, what are we? And it got to the point where I had to stop what I was doing when I was reading and read that part out loud for her so she could hear how ridiculous. She's like, I'm sorry I get you a bad gift. It's like, no, it's the opposite. This is the most perfect thing ever. This is fucking fantastic.
I was going to say, I don't know why. Unless she, I thought initially it might have been a thing of if she sent any things for reference for audio stuff, like, so say if she would send a podcast, we talk about the cats a lot at one stage and the way it was understood.
No, it's just stuff she's got to fill out. That's, and she's hilarious. Like, she even went back to the website and looked through, and she's like, I can't find where I would put anything in about your calves. I don't know. Dan, you're in it. And we know that it's make believe by the fact that Dan's taxi pulls up in front of our house and he gets out and he has a gray specked hair. I'm like, okay, well, that just takes me out of the whole story. That's just way too. It never happened.
Dan would never get out of a taxi. Dan, he'd be riding on the taxi.
Speckled hair on his head, full of shit, is what you are.
That's really good. You know what's funny, you know, as well, is like the page that she happened to send me, the start of it sounds so fucking wrong in a dirty sense. Like, I'll read you a slight excerpt here, Phil, just so you know.
Oh, I can't wait.
Tonight's role-playing game was supposed to be a welcome break, a chance for the mounting tension that has settled over, I can't read that X word, like a thick fog. Like, you know, it's like, that's starting to sound like it's getting a bit, you know.
That sounds like a Hallmark movie.
Yeah. Kind of. For years, Dungeons & Dragons have been their sanctuary. A realm where imagination and camaraderie, like, or something. I don't know, but I can't read some of the words. But it just sounds like it's like we're about to go in and we're about to go swinging. That's what it sounds like right there.
Well, it's
Stephanie,
like, one paragraph. We're talking to you on the phone and you're in England. I am sorry. I apologize for that. Jesus. You're in Ireland.
And, good day to you, sir. Good day.
It's just me. So, it's just me, so, and what, Kevin.
It's just two Phils up now.
Two Phils?
One paragraph, you'll be in Ireland, and then, like, the next paragraph, you're sitting at the table next to me. Like, jumps back and forth. Love it. It's fantastic and it's horrible all at the same time. Yeah, kind of like those Hallmark movies we were just talking about.
Yeah. Reintroduce pages is so fucking funny. I guide you to the haunted ruins of Glenfurg Castle. Like, what the fuck is that?
I've been half tempted. I told my wife, I was like, I'm kind of tempted to like read this like an Audible thing, and then post it chapter by chapter on our Patreon. Just I've really been thinking about it because it's very bad.
You're gonna have to put on a really bad Irish accent for me when it comes on. Just
Billy D Potato.
My best sounds my familiar best to me, charms, Kevin. Leprechaun. My best Lucky Charms accent. Yeah.
There's a D&D podcast group that I kind of started watching. They're actually really good, but they keep swapping DMs in the sense that, like, they're all really good at DMing and stuff. But one of the guys, one of his characters is a cleric or whatever, but he's Irish in it. And my God, the accent. Sure, fa-fa-fee-fa-fa-foe. I tell you now, boys, I can't be doing this for too long. And all this, and I was just sitting there kind of going, oh my God, fucking help me. I can't listen to those episodes.
But then it's like, oh, this is a horrible Irish accent. And then you talk to everybody who doesn't live in Ireland. They're like, no, that sounds exactly like you, buddy. I don't know what the fuck to tell you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's like, do we sound that stupid? Yeah, I kind of do.
Excuse you. First he says English. Then he says, I sound stupid.
Jesus.
I don't think that. I love your...
You know what? I'm only going to roll my purple dice next time we're playing D&D. And that's the one I got all those crits on. So,
oh, he kicked our asses in deal. We'll talk about more of that in the after show. Thank you to our patrons. Willow Quinn. I'm leaving it all in. Willow Quinn Fowler, Sam Britt. Phil, how would you pronounce this word? B-R-E-A-R-S.
Bears?
Brares? Yeah, no. Apparently that's wrong.
Bear grills.
And it was so wrong, he couldn't even, when he played it for his parents, they didn't even know who we were talking about because the name was so wrong. It's not Brares, it's like beer. Brears? Was that it?
Imagine you have a really poor gag reflex, Phil. Right? And it's like,
he doesn't have to imagine, he knows.
Sam. I was about to say it. What am I imagining now?
Yeah, they have a really bad gag reflex and you're trying to say a word that like nearly makes you want to puke every time you say it. So Sam.
Bears. Bears.
Yeah, you know, something like that. We love you, Sam. And M Cat, who I've been getting a lot of messages from, and I appreciate it. M, please keep sending them. You can sign up as well at patreon.com/torturepod. 1 week of our cult leader tier for free. Connect with us on all the socials at torturepod, which now includes Substack. Look for us at torturepod. Most of our stuff is TikTok and Instagram. Haven't really done a whole lot on social media lately at all. We've been just so busy. But I haven't really done a whole lot on our Blue Sky and now on our Substack. I want to change that. I want to do more on those. So look us up on there. Also, Threads. I don't do a whole lot on Threads, but everything we post to Instagram gets posted to Threads anyway, so it's fine. Email us, torchpod@gmail.com. If you want to help us out, make it to where Dan and I don't have to work anymore. You can donate, buymeacoffee.com/torturepod. Or my favorite thing for you to do would be go buy our merch at redbubble.com/people/torturepod. Torture Pod, all Pride merch profits donated to the Trevor Project. And of course, rate and review wherever you can because it's so few people. Oh, we've been getting a lot of comments on Spotify lately, and we really appreciate that. And of course, thank you to our sponsors. You can support us by supporting them. Phil, where can everyone get a hold of you or hear your just lovely Canadian accent?
If you would love to hear more of my Canadian accent, you can find me at The Podcast Mogul on all social media. Just search that up and you can find me, The Podcast Mogul. One word, no new words in there. It's just The Podcast Mogul. One word. But yeah, that's where you can find me. And no new words.
No new word.
Only old words. Only old words.
That's a long name.
It's a very long name.
One podcast word. Mogul, one word, no new words, one long word.
It's all stuck together.
That's one serious act right there.
Yeah. But yes, and I sometimes do have proper elf ears on or antlers on, and I don't look ridiculously. But yes, The Podcast Mogul is where you can find me everywhere.
Looks like a housewife from the 1950s or 60s with a big fucking hair.
Bush-ass hair.
No, actually, you know what he's reminding me of? He's reminding me of, like, one of the ones from Star Wars. Like, it's near, like, the headdress thing that thing is wearing, the princess.
Okay, yeah.
What's her fucking face?
Phil, anybody ever tell you that you look like a character from Star Wars? How's that make you feel?
A female character. The Chancellor princessy one that Anakin wants to shack up with. I can't remember her name.
Padme?
Padme, yeah. There's a bit of she's wearing some big fuck-off headpiece thing. And that's kind of reminding me of that a little bit.
First time I've been compared to a Star Wars character, and I'm very happy about it.
Yeah, there you go. Padme Amidala. Oh, there you go. I found the picture.
So did I.
Oh, God.
So did I.
Now you can put it up there if you want. Yeah, because like, he's coming up as a web file for me. So, yeah, look, Phil, you're getting compared to Natalie Portman, though. So there you go.
Hey, I'm not going to complain.
We're meandering. All right. We will be off for a few weeks for the holidays. So Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, which I believe ends the day this comes out. So I guess it's a retroactive Happy Hanukkah. Super Saturnalia, which ends the day after this comes out. Joyous Kwanzaa, Fabulous Festivus, Bodacious Boxing Day, perfect St. Peter's Day, and a hootenanny of a hogamanny. Have a happy and safe New Year's. There it is. Dan's got it up. That's what you look like.
I hate you both, but I love you so much.
Have a happy, safe New Year's. If you plan on partying, please do so responsibly. No drinking and driving, please. And we leave 2025 with the way we leave every episode. Dan, any words of wisdom?
Look.
He didn't have anything planned.
I never have anything planned. I never have anything planned. I have the odd note written down the odd time when I think of something during the week, and I don't know where the hell my thing is. Look, if your name...
Words of wisdom, make sure you keep every piece of paper that you write down close to your heart.
Really? Well, yeah. Here's a couple of things that are quite poignant based on what we've talked about today now as well, right? So if you don't like the Christmas present somebody hands you, don't say it to them.
Yeah.
Just accept it. Move on. Right? And if your name is Emily Carter and you're a journalist from the big city after going to your hometown for Christmas, don't go abandoning your husband who you've built this absolutely amazing, happy family life with to go and run off with your ex, Jack Merriman, just so you can go off and bake a secret candy cane, gingerbread, baked Alaska pie with cranberry coulis. Just appreciate what you already have. Okay? Yeah. You make more money in the big city than you will back in that shithole town, people.
Fuck yeah, you will.
Yeah. And Jack has a tiny dick. Not all about money, it's about
happiness. Maybe she was happier in the hometown. A Pinecrest.
If she was happy, she would have never left. All right.
Oh, fucking shit. All right, everybody. That's all from us for 2025. Thank you all for making it a great year.
Delicious.
Hopefully we can... Yeah, hopefully we can get more episodes in 2026. All right, love you all. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. We'll see you.
Bye.
Bye, bye, bye. Happy New Year. Jingle bells, Philip smells, Kevin laid an egg. I don't know how
I told you about that in confidence.
Retraced.
This isn't just a game, it's a once in a generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100 year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high flying dunks, 100 years of show stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.